Hello, welcome to this episode of the Perceptive Photographer Podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Gregory. This is our 265th episode of the podcast. I know it's a little bit of a crazy time out there with the COVID-19 pandemic, so I hope first and foremost that you and your family and friends are being safe and that you are doing well and taking care of yourselves during this time. Also, it's important to reach out to family members and friends and just check on them, make sure they're doing okay, because I know it's a pretty stressful time for everybody. So again, hope you are well and that your family is well. A couple of quick announcements before we jump into this week's podcast topic. One is I wanted to tell you about an opportunity for some free Photoshop training. The great photo educator Dave Cross has put together a virtual Photoshop summit. So from April 13th to the 17th, you can watch classes from 20 different Photoshop instructors on a whole host of topics. So these are some great instructors. I'll actually be presenting two sessions on printing, fine art printing, one on kind of printing basics out of Photoshop, and the one on a printing workflow that you could use out of Photoshop, and a little spin on Lightroom. But you can get information at pssummit.com, and you can register for the workshop or for the summit. It's actually free for that week, and then if you actually want to buy a VIP pass, you can get a VIP pass. It'll give you all the bonus content, plus allow you to download the classes and view the classes at any time after the summit. So it's a summit you got to watch live, but if you want to see those content in that class afterwards, you're free to do so with a purchase. I have an affiliate link that will actually help me get paid a little bit of extra money if you're going to buy one of those VIP passes, and you can get that on the actual page notes for this particular episode of the podcast, or if you hit up my Twitter account or my Instagram account, you'll find the link in my bio there or on one of my tweets. So I'd appreciate that. Hopefully you'll have an opportunity to spend some of your at-time home learning some new Photoshop skills. Anybody who's listened to this podcast for very long knows that language is really important to me in photography, and I think there's a verbal language and a visual language, and understanding how both of those components pull together is so important. But I wanted to return back to this notion of language, because I hear a lot of interesting language things every day. And like I said, because it's so critical, I wanted to kind of touch back into this topic again. We recently got a new puppy. Her name's Cora, little Australian Shepherd puppy. And one of the things that we do when we're training the puppy is Lori and I have to make sure that we issue the same command from each of us. So if one of us is using the command down to get down off of furniture, or using down to lay down, we have to make sure that we have clarity on what those commands are, because if the language is different, she's going to have a hard time learning what that command actually is. So we have to get that structure of that language intact so that we have common understanding when we're dealing with her. And I think photography language is very much the same. We have to develop a common vocabulary so that we can understand photographs and understand the nature of those photographs. And yet at the same time, there's a dialogue that happens inside our own heads based on language that I think is as disruptive as not having common language when we talk about photographs. Also, you know, on just the subtlety of how society uses language, I think it's really important. Like one of the things we hear because of the COVID thing is we hear social distancing is so important that we need to keep 6 feet between people. And it's one of those linguistic language things, but I think social distancing is not really a great word, because by nature, most of us are social and humans are social. And there's a way to be social and maintain that physical distance. So I think the correct thing would have been physical distancing. Staying 6 feet apart is a physical distance. It's not an emotional distance. It's not a psychological distance. It's not even a social distance. And so I think when we say there's a social distancing, that implies that we need to be pulling ourselves farther apart, when in fact we need to be closer together, because to survive the emotional toll of something like this requires an increased level of empathy and awareness and structural bonding for us to have. And while it's a different method potentially than physical proximity, that physical distancing is what's critical to this, not the social aspect. And so subtle language things like that are really, really important. When we think about how we approach our own photography and the nature of our photography, if we talked about our photography as a social distance versus a physical distance versus an emotional distance, those languages would all mean something else when we looked at the photograph. So I think it's important as we discuss the language, we get the accuracy of what we want so that we have that clear communication, so that when we're discussing something, much like dealing with a puppy, the right word is doing the right result to get the right action that we would expect. At the same time with that language, I think there's a lot of other language that has the imprecision of the way we approach our photography. It has the imprecision of the way we approach our own being as a photographer and as a creative. A couple things that come to mind are, you know, I'm not very good at something. I'm lazy. I am unmotivated. I'm doomed to repeat the same mistake over and over again. that language becomes in many ways like a self-fulfilling prophecy, and it's not necessarily an accurate reflection of what is going on and who we are. You're not good at something because you haven't practiced long enough, or maybe you're not good at something because, well, you're innately not going to be good at it. You know, I suffered through that as much as I wanted to be really, really good at high complex math so I could do really cool astrophysics. It turns out I just go to the planetarium to watch the Pink Floyd laser show because that's the level of math that I could understand. So as we realize that there are certain things we're innately probably better at than others, but that doesn't mean we're not eventually going to get good or get to an acceptable quality level. And I think things like being unmotivated, I hear a lot of people right now talking about how unmotivated they are in their photography. Well, we're dealing with an emotionally difficult time for a lot of people and a stressful time and an exhausting time for people. And if you're isolating and you're staying at home and you normally are a person who goes out and does a lot of photography, of course it's going to be seeming a little unmotivated. And while there's a lot of tips and tricks that people seem to want to put out there to redirect that energy or take advantage of this time to clean up your Lightroom catalog or spend this time delving into something that you've always wanted to do on a more close to home kind of scenario, we have to reflect the attitude and position of who we are. And I think one of the things that I would encourage you to do in this understanding of language, of the verbal and the visual language and how those come together, is unmotivated is probably not exactly the right word. It's probably that you don't want to take photographs. It's just that you're in a state where taking photographs seems difficult or seems challenging. And one of the things I would encourage you to do is maybe think about that experience of what is it that you're dealing with emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, physically, and how does that convey in the photographs? And if you're normally, say, a big landscape photographer and you travel to the Midwest and you do the storms and you do big open spaces in Montana and you live in the heart of, say, Kansas City or New York City or Chicago and your space is out there, how do you convey photographically how you're feeling now? How does that look around the house? How does that convey around the house? And it's not necessarily the photographs of this is me sitting at home, but how would you do landscape at your house? Think about like your dining room table and you've got coffee mugs and dishes set on there and all of a sudden you photograph that as if it were the big landscape. So it's not an unmotivated element. It's not a I can't do it element. It's not a I can't configure out how to make my photography work element. It's a precision in how you describe what you're experiencing. I'm experiencing a frustration because I can't get out and do what I would normally do, but that doesn't change how you see. So your visual seeing is still the same. You may have to change the scale and scope of what you do and how you approach that, but there's still an amazing opportunity for you to make amazing photographs. And maybe you're one of those people where this is the time for you to go clean up your Lightroom catalog. Maybe it's a time for you to go back and look at all those old film scans you never looked at or redo your organization structure or something like that. But no matter what that is, as we approach and think about and create these different concepts within our head, how we describe them becomes so, so important. I hear so many people talk about that. I wish I could. I wish I knew how to. I wish I had more of this. I wish I had less of that. And part of that wishing is a desire to have something. Part of it is a uncertainty about how to achieve something. And I think part of what we could do as well is dive deeper into that language of what is it behind the wish? What is it behind you wish you could be more organized in Lightroom? Well, what would that provide? What would that afford? Because if you could go from I wish I was more organized to I wish I could find my photographs to I wish my family and friends' photographs were not in with all of my commercial work, we start to get much more granular in what we can do and how we can approach things within our photography and within whatever the structure is we're doing. So the challenge of wishing to be more organized versus wishing to be able to separate personal projects from commercial projects is a completely different mental approach. It no longer becomes this overwhelming task. It becomes a much simpler task. And again, it's the language by which we describe what we're attempting to do. For those of you who are portrait photographers, you know that the thing that elevates you as a portrait photographer is being able to give clear direction to the person you're photographing. So instead of saying, do something interesting, or your hands are awkward, make them less awkward, you start to get the precision of language of, can you twist your hand this way? Can you put your thumb here? Can you not touch your face this way? Can you touch it this way? Can you move your left shoulder forward a little bit? All of those little precisions of language about how to pose somebody become much more interesting, become much more effective in our ability to get what we want out of the portrait and to help that person put the best foot forward. So again, it's that precision of language. At the same time, in critique of photographs, which we've talked about this a number of times, but just to kind of close the loop on the language element, you know, when you describe a photograph as the color is bad, well, is that the hue of the color? Is it the saturation of the color? Is it the luminance value of the color? What is it about the color that's bad? Is it all the colors in the photograph are bad, or is it just some of the colors that are photographed that are bad? If a print's too dark, what does that mean if it's too dark? What is that allowing you to express or not express when you view the photograph? Maybe a photograph is supposed to be really dark because it's macabre, or maybe it's supposed to be too light and airy because it's high key. But if we don't communicate clearly what our intention was behind the photograph or how we're experiencing the critique of the photograph, it becomes a bigger challenge for people who are looking at the photograph to understand that. You know, even languages such as it's hard light and soft light aren't necessarily as illustrative as they should be. What is the emotional impact? What is the driving impact of hard light? How does that make you respond and feel and associate to the photographs? So much like training that puppy again, going back to that original analogy, if we told the puppy that it was, you know, under hard light, that it's hard light, it's, you know, got edges, it's got deep shadow, it's got dark contrast. But then I describe that light as not hard, but edgy, or I describe it as deep shadowed, or I describe it as on or off. Whatever language I use to describe that, the more precision I can give in that language, the more opportunities I have. Because the other thing that's great about training a dog is you can train a dog to sit. You can train a dog to sit and stay. You can train a dog to sit and then sit up on its back legs. You have hundreds and hundreds of things you can do. As long as you can get the descriptive language around it so that the dog can get distinguished between one particular action you want them to take and a second action you want them to take. But you have to have that language and that precision for them to learn that. So much like training a dog, you're training yourself as a photographer to get a massive vocabulary so you can have clarity of that. And much like physical and social distancing, the accuracy of that language is important so that we make sure we're conveying truly what we mean and what we intend to mean through that language. Because if not, we have the unintended consequence. If you think about living for 18 months, 2 years under the notion of social distancing, what does that mean when it's time to no longer social distance? We've already created this notion of social distancing as a barrier versus the reassociation of the physical distance. So those unintended language things can make a difference. So it's just something for you to think about. Again, I hope you and your family are safe. I know this is a challenging time. I know it's a difficult time. And no matter where you are in your photography, whether you're unmotivated, if you're feeling lazy, or if you're just going like gangbusters, enjoying the time you have to actually focus on your photography, wherever you're at, I hope you just appreciate the fact that you are there and enjoying what is there and cut yourself a break, cut yourself a slack. It's a kind of a crazy time out there. Don't forget, check out pssummit.com. And if you're interested in the VIP piece, I would really appreciate you jumping over to the show notes and clicking off my affiliate link to give me a little financial love off of that. Doesn't change your price at all. Just gives me a little kickback off that. Again, I'll be teaching 2 sessions on printing, and there's about 33 other sessions that are going to be up there over those days of training from great instructors, Ben Wilmore, Blake Rudis, Corey Baker, Christina Schreck, Dave Cross, Matt Kloskowski, great group of people up there training, so I think there'll be something up there for everybody. Don't forget, you can always find the podcast up on any of the podcast platforms. A rating or a review up there would also help other people find the podcast. So again, thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you next time.